It's time for Eco Talk with host Betsy Rosenberg.
She'll be great. She's a very smart, capable person who knows exactly what took place and will lay out the facts. And that's what the American people want to see.
I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
Welcome to EcoTalk, your one-stop shopping spot for all things green, be they products, programs, policies, politicians, presidents, good and bad, what's making a difference in our world today. That's where you will find us focusing on all kinds of issues, and today's a great show. We have someone on the line from Austin, Texas, someone who actually runs that city that many know as the City of Blues. Well, Austin, Texas is the greenest city in not only the state of Texas, but is on its way to becoming, they hope, the clean energy capital of the entire country, maybe even the world. So we're going to be chatting with Austin Mayor Will Wynn, find out a little bit more about where that name came from. And then we'll be checking in with Frank O'Donnell from the Clean Air Watch. He'll be joining us from Washington to talk about a major announcement the EPA is expected to make this week. And perhaps by the time you hear this, may have already made it. And then Daniel Heinerfield from NRDC will be casting us out into the sparkling rivers of Montana to talk fly fishing with George Black. He's the editor of On Earth magazine for the NRDC. And we'll also be checking in for a tip of the day and some headlines first in the news. And there's good news and bad news. Let's get the bad news out of the way. You may know, most of us do, that there's a lot of mercury showing up in tuna and other fish as well. Well, the latest research shows that mercury pollution from power plants and other industrial sources has accumulated in birds, mammals, and reptiles across our country, and that only cuts in emission, this report says, can curtail the contamination from spreading further. Now, the first major compilation of studies investigating mercury buildup in such wildlife as California clapper rails, Maine's bald eagles, Canadian loons, and Florida panthers, so it's all across the country. Scientists working with the National Wildlife Federation finding 65 studies showing mercury levels present in 40 species. We'll be hearing more about that. Mercury, obviously a big problem. And the good news, though, we have to celebrate it when it happens, and that is that untouched sections of national forests will not be getting roads paved through them. A federal judge in San Francisco has reinstated a ban on such construction, which President Clinton put in place. The ruling overturns a move by Bush and company to get rid of Clinton's ban and instead have a voluntary state-by-state petition process. Enviros and states filed suit over that, successfully arguing it violates federal environmental laws. Clinton's rule bans logging and mining and other kinds of development on more than 58 million acres of forest land in 38 states and Puerto Rico. Want to welcome Austin Mayor Will Wynn to the show and congratulate you first on all the wonderful work you've been doing down there.
Well, thank you very much. I love my job, and the fundamental dynamics here are so positive to work with.
And it's really the cities now that are leading this green evolution, as we like to call it. Lots of action taken on climate change. In fact, some 295 U.S. mayors have signed on to the Mayor's Climate Protection Agreement. I'm sure you're one of them.
I am. I work closely with Seattle Mayor Greg Nickels, who really was the inspiration for this. And in fact, we were together this past weekend in California, and I've now been appointed to the U.S. Mayor's Council on Climate Protection with Mayor Nickels. And together we're going to try to form the Mayor's Institute on Climate Protection and roll that into the larger umbrella of the U.S. Conference of Mayors organization to really begin to have an impact locally on an issue that, sadly, you know, the federal government isn't taking the leadership role on.
And Mayor Greg Nickels has been on our show. We had him here during the World Environment Day festivities in San Francisco last year, and he did, in fact, start this. They call him the Pied Piper of Kyoto Protocol activity in the local level. And he says he actually says he has been amazed at the fabulous response he has received, that other cities and regions are reacting, you know, far beyond his highest expectations.
Well, it has been. In fact, I was with him at the at that event in San Francisco, and since then, it's just been remarkable how well this has been received. And I think there's virtually every state now is represented. Funny, we had a city in every state except for Mississippi, and then this weekend, our friend Mayor Smith from Meridian, Mississippi, signed on board while we were together, and so now Mississippi is represented on the map. And it's just I just think it's so bipartisan. We have Mayor Bloomberg in New York to Rocky Anderson in Salt Lake City, and it's just a remarkable breadth of the political spectrum, large cities, small cities, cities that own their utilities, cities that don't, and And it's very encouraging, and hats off to Greg.
And I'm sure some of the success, of course, can be attributed to the very clear, painfully clear knowledge that there's this vast void left by W and friends, and that really that's not going to lead the way. It's not going to get us out of the abyss at all, that it really has to happen at the local and state level. It really must be very empowering.
It is, and I'm so pleased with what seems to be just relatively overnight, just in the last few years, you know, mayors have stepped forward on national issues, and I think we should be proud. The U.S. Conference of Mayors organizations that we're all very active in, you know, supports us and staffs many of our efforts, but it's very rewarding to see local officials step up and try to deliver.
And even before we knew about global warming, back in the late 1990s, when we were starting to hear about it anyway, Austin really had already made its mark as one of the leaders in sustainability. What are you most proud of besides what you've already mentioned?
That's tough, because I'm very proud of what is this great product mix of environmental awareness and protection that we have here in Austin. My degree and background is in architecture, and so I got to start with the Green Building Program that our municipally owned utility, Austin Energy, really helped bring to the national forefront in the late 1990s. And that program just continues to expand. We're having such a good impact on the environment by having homes and commercial buildings built more sound to begin with. So it's the Green Building Program, but then also from a larger standpoint, it's we have dramatically changed our land use patterns here in Austin just in the last few years, with mixed use density in our urban core to combat suburban sprawl. But it's more than just, you know, saving the region's environment by not sprawling. It fundamentally reduces water use per capita, energy use per capita, allows us to have more sustainable economics by having more tax base, you know, where we need it and where we want it and where it costs us less to deliver services. The city is quickly becoming far more walkable than ever before, so our citizenry will actually be more fit. So the dramatic changes in land use patterns I'm very fond of. And then lastly, our renewable energy portfolio is renowned in our approach to how we're trying to manage the public policy with our municipally owned utility, Austin Energy. Really allows me, as on a personal level, to be out on the forefront nationally on several major energy issues, because you can't talk about the environment, you can't talk about climate protection without talking about energy and the demand and supply dynamics we have in this country.
What's it like leading such a progressive city in a very red state, I'll say, to avoid anything that's not nice?
Well, I love my job, and frankly, the easy part of my job when it comes to environmental protection and sustainability is that our citizenry demands it. And it's nice when you have the vast majority of your citizens will back you up, technically, when there's a sort of a bold policy move made. And our citizens, you know, they're used to the city of Austin stepping forward and trying to be as progressive as we can be, you know, perhaps even leading the nation on certain issues. And they expect that. And so it's just very rewarding when you know you have that support, you know, with your citizens, to then step forward and try to do something that maybe would raise some eyebrows with other officials around the state and even the country.
Are you seeing other cities in Texas asking for help and greening their cities? She asked. Dallas, Houston,
well,
in mind.
Well, yes. In fact, I'm fond of how many of the other mayors in Texas have chimed in. Just for instance, the mayors in Texas who have signed on to the U.S. Mayor's Council on Climate Protection, the Agreement on Climate Protection, we have, you know, Republicans and Democrats. We have large cities, small cities. I'm just guessing right now, there's probably a dozen or more cities in Texas whose mayors have signed the agreement. And so I'm very pleased that Austin doesn't necessarily have to stand alone when it comes to making some progressive statements about the environment.
And we have just about a minute left before we go to break, but you're going to join us for the second segment. Want to find out more about your plug-in hybrid program. Also get your opinion on some recent news that coal-fired power plants are in the works to be built quickly in Texas, and there's lots of opposition building to that. We'd like to get your opinion, and also a little bit more about what's coming up in Austin, because it is one of the greenest cities around, and I know that I've never been there. I'd like to be, but we're on in Austin, Texas. We were before when we were on the weekends. Hopefully we are 5 days a week, because we had a really supportive loyal audience there. So we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to EcoTalk. You can find us on the web at www.ecotalk.net. And if you'd like to find out what you missed, either in a previous segment or program or joining us in progress, you can get links to all of our guests and their websites and all kinds of past shows archived there as well. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple. Welcome back to Eco Talk, and I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, speaking with the mayor of Austin, Texas, one of the greenest cities around, Will Wynn. First, I got to ask you about that name. Was that a name you took when you got into politics, or you were born with it and you decided you might as well run for something?
Yeah, no, my parents did this to me. I think they wanted an Olympic gold medalist, and instead they got a politician.
Ah, well, are they proud of you now?
I think they are.
Oh, good. Well, we want to talk about something that's been in the news in the last month or two, and that's just as we're learning more and more about the toxicity of mercury, not only how damaging it is to humans and who knows what other mammals, but we're finding it in other mammals. The latest research, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, shows that not only are birds showing up with mercury in their bloodstream and tissues, but also all kinds of, not only fish, I should say, but birds and other land mammals. And this is a big story. And as we tell these stories, as they continue to come in, we are hearing that more coal-fired power plants are being proposed, a big number, actually, in the state of Texas, and they're trying to rush some of those permits through. So tell us what's happening there.
Well, it's pretty scary, and the good news is a lot of Texans across the political spectrum are very concerned about it and are taking action. But same time, there's a big energy demand here in Texas as the population continues to grow. But Texas Utilities, one of the big state's big investor-owned utilities, is proposing a dozen new coal-fired power plants, spread throughout the state. And unfortunately, and very scary for us here in Austin, is that one is on essentially the periphery of our five-county Central Texas region at a time when we have been doing everything we can to make sure we stay compliant with the Federal Clean Air Act. But we're barely compliant, and a coal-fired plant anywhere near your region can easily put you into non-compliance. We just spiritually, if nothing else, don't want to go there.
And you mentioned energy, Texas's big energy appetite, of course, as Texas is, a lot of the rest of the country is too, but they may be the worst in terms of wasting energy. What kind of compassionate conservation is being practiced in your city? I bet there is some, actually, but elsewhere in Texas after, in the wake of Katrina with high gas prices.
Well, of course, energy runs the gamut of transportation energy with gasoline to and through, the electricity that we use in our homes. I'll say that, I like to remind people that the cleanest energy is the energy we don't have to produce in the first place. And so in Austin, we focus heavily on the demand side of our electric meters, both through the green building program that has buildings using less energy, but then also when we do have to supply it as our population continues to grow. We have been growing dramatically our renewable energy portfolio, mostly with West Texas wind power, but we're desperately trying to grow our solar portfolio as well.
Yeah, so you get a lot of sunshine down there, just like we do here in California.
Unfortunately, yep. The technology with solar just hasn't, it still doesn't pay technically, whereas wind, depending on what kind of contract you have with the wind farms, we have been purchasing wind power for our citizens less expensive than the power delivered by fossil fuels. So it's brilliant. And finally, the true market forces have helped a lot of people do the right thing environmentally. And hopefully we can get solar in that same category very soon.
And you haven't seen much opposition to the wind turbines?
No. In fact, the good news part is that West Texas, where the wind blows the most, is not very populated. And interesting enough, the state of Texas owns a lot of that land, and we have a very aggressive state land commissioner who is actively promoting more wind farms on state-owned land, which they get revenue from. They get royalties off of the electricity purchases. So it's a win for the state pocketbook, but at the same time, of course, it's the right thing for us to do environmentally here in town.
Now, something else you're doing that's very proactive, you have a plug-in hybrid program. That's ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I'm very fond of that and very proud of the position that Austin Energy and the city of Austin and me as mayor find ourselves in. We challenged our utility 2 years ago to help us figure out how we could connect the energy sector with the transportation sector and really have an impact on the overall energy portfolio here in this country. Because there's big problems that for whatever reason we as a society and a government aren't addressing. One is our over dependence on foreign oil, a true national security issue. Number two is the rising cost of gasoline, what that does to pocketbooks of our consumers and us as local governments. And number three, the fact that disproportionately it's cars, at least in the Austin area, that are polluting our urban air. And so to the extent that we could connect literally our energy and transportation sectors by taking it essentially traditional electric hybrid engines, but having the ability to at night plug them into a wall socket, get a charge that might last the first 50 or even 60, 75 miles off of a charge that occurs at night when we already have electricity in production, our base load that oftentimes isn't being used, including our renewable energy portfolio. So you could plug your hybrid car in at night, have the first 75 miles be fueled by West Texas wind that blows more at night than in the daytime, actually, as opposed to Middle Eastern oil, and then you drive your first 50, 75 miles without using even the biofuels, but even the combustible fuel in your hybrid vehicle. And it has so we have a plug-in partners program. We have 150 utilities have signed on, 150 cities have signed on nationwide, including many of my same friends that have signed on to Mayor Nichols' climate agreement. We have strong support in Congress. Orrin Hatch came to my press event at the National Press Club in D.C. and asked to speak in favor of this.
Wow, if you get him on board. I'm afraid we're running out of time. Finish your sentence, and then we'll have to say goodbye.
Well, I have the best job in the world to be able to lead a progressive city when it comes to environmental policies, particularly around energy and building and land use. And I appreciate the chance to be on EcoTalk with you.
Mayor Nguyen, I think you have a winning formula there in Austin, Texas. Let other city leaders take note. We're not just green here in San Francisco, but in Texas, of all places. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back
my pleasure,
right after the news break.